So would you like to have your Bibles open at Psalm 119? So right in the middle of your Bibles, the Old Testament, you'll find the Psalms. And there is Psalm 119. And I'm taking one text this morning for the first message of this new year. And this is our text, the 105th verse. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Every year I try to preach a New Year sermon. In the hope that, of course, it will have some impact on us for the whole of the year, for the rest of our lives as well, of course, that it might help us now, today, might help us this week and in the weeks to come, but also that it might stay with us, hopefully, by the grace of God, for the rest of our lives. So we should sanctify the time, we should set the time apart in our minds, and be willing just to concentrate for a little time and hear what God might say to us through his word. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. In the past, some of you will remember that I have quoted a piece of poetry that King George VI used in his Christmas broadcast in 1939. He only quoted the first verse, but it's always stuck with me. It goes like this: I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put thine hand into the hand of God, and that shall be safer to thee than a light or a known way. Put your hand into the hand of God, and that shall be safer to you than a light or a known way. I'm going to speak in a moment on these wonderful words in Psalm 119. But by way of an introduction, let me just say this, that we might like to consider as we move into this new year the profundity of words and how useful they are. What good can be got up from words? How many words will be used this year to influence us, to instruct us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to direct us? How much use will words be in the coming year? They will be immense. For some of you, no doubt, you will find triumphs. Words will have a big part to play. For others, it will be low points, but words will play a part. Of that we can be sure. But I have great hope in words. When I think about words, one of the first things that comes to my mind are the power of the words of Abraham Lincoln, which he gave in the Gettysburg Address during the American Civil War. Every time I read them or hear them, they make my spine tingle. Just listen to them. He said this at the edge of the battlefield at Gettysburg. He said that this nation, that's the American nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And it has gone on to speak all the way down through the last 150 and more years. And it continues. These are just words. But what power they carry. Now, if men's words carry so much power, what power might the word of God carry? Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So let me take you through it as quickly as I can. Notice, first of all, the psalmist says, your word. He acknowledges that God speaks. Here is a man who evidently is in need of some help, because he asks for a light. He asks for a lamp, so to speak. But he acknowledges that God speaks. And it is fundamental to your understanding of God. The living God is the God who is there, who speaks. He's personal. He can be known. He speaks. Now, he speaks. First of all, let me teach you something. If you didn't know this, he speaks in a threefold way. I'll tell you. He speaks, first of all, in creation. This is what Paul says in Romans 1. He speaks in creation. Look at the order of the cosmos. He speaks in creation. How many of you have ever seen a great Rembrandt painting? Most of you must have done. If I go to Amsterdam and I stand in the Rijksmuseum and I stand in front of the great painting of the Night Watch and I don't see Rembrandt, why, I am a blind man. If I listen to the Solaria in the Marriage of Figaro, but don't see Mozart, I am a deaf person. How many of you have seen that great film, The Shawshank Redemption? That's the great piece of music that comes up that influences all the men who are in the yard there. It's the Solaria from Mozart. But if I don't see Mozart, and if I don't see her when I listen to the Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven, I am a deaf man. Who is behind this creation? Who is behind the cosmos? God speaks in his creation. But even better, he speaks propositionally in his word, what we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. He speaks personally in Jesus Christ, his only beloved Son. And that's why when we go back in time and we look at the early church, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're pointing up the creation. Look at the creation, God speaks. Look at providence, the order of the events of life. God speaks. Look at the word of God, the scriptures. God speaks. Look at Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He speaks. And so they preached in this particular way. Now, do you understand why the churches are in decline? They've got no lamp. They've got no light. They're not listening to God's word, especially in the scriptures. There's no light upon the path. There's no lamp to direct people. I might suggest this morning to all of you, and I'm willing to do this, I can meet with you and I can help you a little bit, maybe, possibly. But I can only help you best if I point you to the word of God. Your word is a lamp. That's what the psalmist says. He doesn't say the church is the lamp. He doesn't say that the man who preaches is the lamp. He says your word is a lamp. And we might do very well in 2015 if we have never done it before. What saith the scriptures? What does God say? Just stop yourself for a moment and ask, what does God say? Not what does the medical journal say? What does that say? Or what does the next thing say? What is the best advice over here or the best advice over there? How quickly do people run to another place but not to God? And I'll tell you this, I'm confident of this. If we want the best philosophy for life, for the next year and for the rest of our lives, look to the word of God. If you want the best comfort and the best peace in your life, look to the word of God. If you want the best wisdom and the best insight, look to the word of God. If we would know about faith, and we would know about eternal things, look to the word of God. If you're led to that watering hole where you hear God speak, your soul will be best fed in 2015. Notice that the psalmist likens God's word to a lamp. He likens it to light. And I find this, for myself at least, very, very helpful and comforting. He's not looking to an inner light. How many Christians do I still read of who speak about an inner light? A kind of mysticism. This man's not looking to an inner light. I'll be saying more about that in a few moments. I warn everyone, be careful of looking to your own light. This man recognizes the superiority of the lamp which God gives. And Jesus touched on this. Listen really carefully now. Jesus touched on this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said this: if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, if you go by your own light, do you know, I wouldn't trust the light within me, not for one second. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? I don't trust my own light. This man didn't trust his own light. He looked for God's lamp, not the light within him. If the light within you is darkness, Jesus said, how great is that darkness? We just changed an outside light at our house before Christmas. And the other outside light, when it had a bulb in it, it worked reasonably well. But it never cast its light into the furthest depths of the darkness of my mum's passageway next door. Well, we changed it. We altered it for a more robust, a more powerful light. A new LED system that could reach into the darkest places. And I'm saying to you that in exactly the same way, we need a lamp that will reach into the darkest parts of our lives. Is your mind dull spiritually? If you're not a Christian, definitely. Am I dreadfully dull by nature? Yes. Am I faulty? Yes. If I look to my own light to light my way, that light will turn out to be darkness. When I look at God's word, I find it to be the lamp. I find it to be the light. I find it to be the one that never goes out. Imagine this morning that you could look for a light that would never go out. It will go on beaming bright for the rest of your life. It will shine into the thickest darkness. Do you need such a light? I think you do. I think we all do. I repeat this. It's important. It's the word which is the lamp, not the church, not the preacher, not the organisation. Do you know, we'd get a long way, wouldn't we, in 2015 if the church ceased to be the light themselves, or the preacher ceased to be the star, the light that everybody was drawn to like a moth to a light. That will not do. No, because the scripture says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And for that reason, I say to you, you may have a good Christian friend. Yes, but he's not the first one to go to. She's not the first one. I know a good book. Yes, I'm a great recommender of good books. But that's not the first place. The place to find your light and the lamp for your life is the word of God. Remember the poem that I started with. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he said, put your hand into the hand of God. That's the place where you must put your hand. Now, in many ways, 2015 is unknown to you. Well, of course it is. It is unknown to us. Ah, but that pathway that's unknown to us is known to God. And I comfort myself with such a knowledge. Now, there might be somebody here this morning, this wouldn't be unusual, who says, well, I've got things pretty well sorted, thank you very much. I've got everything sorted for 2015, and there are some people like that. Thank you very much, I can run my own show this year. But such arrogance, friends, forgets God, who knows your every heartbeat and orders it, your very pulse, even now, is in his hands. You will need him. You will need his light. You will need his lamp for the future. This morning, I know for myself that before me there must be a myriad of challenges, and I need God's lamp, and I need his light for the future. For the future of the church, for the future of the family, for the future of the individual, for employment, for pleasure, for joy, for happiness. I need his lamp, I need his light. Will there be sadness and grief this year? For sure. I need his lamp. I need his light. I'm just going to give you an illustration, because there are some of you perhaps who think, it's easy. It's easily done, this. We're high and mighty. One of the great things about the gospel is it humbles you. Oh, I'm so high and mighty. I don't need the gospel. Let me tell you somebody who was truly great. I mean, not by this world's standards, but in a divine sense. Somebody who really was great. I'm thinking of a man called the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 letters of the New Testament. Just listen to him. He says, I don't make my plans in a worldly manner. It's phenomenal. Here is a man who is so gifted, so close to God, so used by him, so absolutely extraordinary, but he doesn't make his plans in a worldly manner. I wonder what he would say about all of us professing Christians. I wonder what he would say about all of us making our plans in such a worldly manner. Why, he'd come down on us. I'm certain of it. He said, what on earth are you doing? No, he was not like that. And we might say that he had every reason, with all of his gift and his powers and his nearness to Christ and his usefulness. But this is a man who says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His light and his help in life, his direction comes from the Lord. And if the Apostle Paul needed it, then don't you think perhaps we need it? Don't you think perhaps we need his light? And we need the Lord's lamp? And we need our path to be illuminated by that light which only the Lord can give. I notice as I look down through the history of the church that those who did best, who left the best mark on the life of the church, were those who walked by this lamp and by this light. Now, something else to point out that's really important about this lamp and this light. Where does a lamp work best? It works best in darkness. Well, that's what it was designed for. A lamp is not designed to shine in the daylight. A lamp is designed to shine in darkness. In fact, a lamp assumes darkness. And so we can say about this lamp, its design is to extinguish the darkness so that the right path can actually be followed. Because without that light, I go on the wrong path. And some of you, Benj, John, Dwayne, have recently been in the mountains. And I hear stories about how easily, even with their little lamps, if they hadn't have had their little headlamps, you'd have been lost, Wayne. For certain. Yes. And possibly, I'm not being over the top now, but in those situations, death. Yes? Death. Before the Apostle Paul was Paul, and he had met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was on the path that led to death. He was in the darkest place. And the Lord came and shone upon his life, and in shining upon his life, he showed him the right way. And it is like this, friends. Let me just show you. It is that we walk in darkness until the Lord comes and blinds us, as he blinded Paul with his light. Paradoxically, he blinds us with that light and gives us sight in the darkest places. Now this morning, God's word will point up your sin. You see, what it does is it shines onto every surface. It leaves no place untouched. See why people don't want the Bible being preached to them? And see why what we do here, nobody really by nature wants that. Because what the Bible is now going to do, it's going to shine into your very life. I don't want to get into your life and look, but the Word of God will do. It shines in such a way that it puts a spotlight on every part of who you are. So that sin that's left its indelible mark on me and left its indelible mark on you shows me that I am undone, and it reveals the true, the real me, the one I want to hide. Don't let that spotlight shine on me. I don't want the true and real me to be seen. Can you see now why? If you shine the light on yourself that is your own light, or your neighbour's light, you're always going to walk in darkness. What you need is the Lord's lamp. You need his light to shine on you. And it will go into every crevice and into every crack. And it will get to the very heart and soul of every part of who you are. Do you need this in 2015? I should say so. Does this make you feel uncomfortable? Well, in some ways that's not a bad thing. But I've got some good news for you. This light, this lamp that shines on your life, it's not shone there so that you might be punished. It's not shone there so that you can be condemned. It's not shone there because the Lord wants to hurt me. It's shone there so that he can reach out his hand and say, "You're moving into the unknown. Here is my hand. I'll take you by the hand. I've not come to hurt you or punish you or condemn you, but to take you by the hand, to light your path, to be with you in the unknown. So that you'll know the way to go. And I will be that light that will be with you in the darkest places, wherever they might be." Now the text says your word is a light a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Can I end the New Year message like this by saying, it's a lamp on my, capital my, on my feet. Who would say my? Who would call out with their need of God this morning and say, my feet, my path. I need you, Lord, to light my feet. I need you, Lord, to light my path for the days which go ahead. Some of you might already have said this year, I don't need you, God. I don't really have much use of you. But you're going to find out that there are treacherous, dark places, because that's part of life. And they will emerge, and only God can ultimately supply the light that we need. You say, well, what I can see ahead of me is not treacherous, but life comes to an end, friends. It has to. Of course it has to. When that light comes, when that day comes, when this life is finished, it means that all opportunity for access to that light, that personal light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, is gone. You had the opportunity of the lamp and the light for your pathway all of your life, but you rejected it. It's no longer available. Just go back to the young cricketer. He's batting, the ball comes and hits his head here. The opportunity of light is gone. It's finished on that day, at that very moment. The shoppers in Glasgow, just happily shopping just before Christmas, who go out innocently, and the refuse truck comes and takes them away. The possibility of light is gone for them for all eternity. So don't say, I've got it all worked out, because you don't know what the year holds for you. So this morning, God says in his word, let me be a lamp to your feet. This man is willing humbly to say, your word is a lamp for mine. Now, how many of you this morning at the beginning of 2015 might say, Lord, be a lamp for my feet. I need you. Be a lamp for my feet. Be a light, Lord, please, to my path for 2015. I'm not a believer that threats ever really get you very far. So my preaching is not to threaten you into the kingdom of God. I think that love does a much better job. It's much more persuasive. Love is much more compelling. God's lamp and his light is to direct us to the Saviour, who loves like none other. You need to come to him. You need to believe in him. You must not hesitate, but you must come even now and say, Lord, from today, be the lamp of my life. Be the light, Lord, upon my path. And let that light, above all else, lead us to Christ. And then we shall truly be safe. Not just for this year, but for the rest of our lives and for all eternity. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he said, put thine hand into the hand of God, and that shall be better to thee. May God's light be better to us and prove to be so in the year to come. God bless his word to us. Amen.
Amen.